When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
It's a Shoppers John Deere Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Here's Payne and Pendergast.
Here's C.J. Stroud, shotgun, Joe Mixon to his right. First down at the Tennessee 19. Stroud takes the snap. He's got time in the pocket. Floats one right side, end zone, caught, Stover, touchdown, just like that. The Texans take the lead.
Yeah, felt good, man. 18 seconds in, you're up 7-0. 11 minutes left in the second quarter, you're down 17-7. And that's the 2024 Houston Texans in a nutshell. Just cannot, no killer instinct, can't take an early lead like that, build on it, and dominate a bad football team. Instead, they allow a bad football team to hang around. My biggest concern is that the two people that we have hitched our wagon to the most since the beginning of last season, D'Amico Ryans and C.J. Stroud, they're showing some serious flaws right now. We'll get to D'Amico a little bit later. We hit him pretty hard in the first hour of the show. But C.J. Stroud yesterday, Seth, and C.J. Stroud in general over the last month and a half or so, has not been good. I was enthusiastic about the first half, though. Despite falling behind 17-7, they were able to come back and tie the game at 17. There were two big plays that got me excited about, okay, this is starting to look like CJ again. The first one was this one to Tank Dell.
CJ boots out to the right. Stroud looking to square up. Fires downfield to his left. Tank Dell with the catch at the 25-yard line. Breaks the tackle, but he can't get through the second man at the 21. Huge play to Tank. Texans at the threshold of the red zone.
Yeah, we can do that too. Yeah. We can throw lob shots.
Yep. That was what play that was, I think? That was the Dalton Schultz touchdown against the Browns in the playoff game where CJ boots out right and throws it back across the field.
Yeah.
That was the play, and he did it to Tank Dell this time. And just, it was a 39-yard play. Just dropped it right in the bucket to Tank. And I'm like, all right, man, that's CJ Stroud right there. A little later on in the first half, he hits this deep shot to Nico Collins.
CJ Stroud, shotgun. One back, Mixon. First down, Texans at the Houston 35. Here's the snap. Stroud to throw. Airs it out deep down the left side for Nico. He's got it at the 20 and tackled inside the 10-yard line. Big play to Nico. First and goal, Houston.
So it's still in there, man. Like, it's still in there somewhere. You know, like, those were two gorgeous, gorgeous deep shot chunk plays.
A couple of the outs, too, were the old, you know, the one to Tank Dell in the second half. The one to Nico that didn't look like, where they came up and got the playoff quickly because, you know, like they.
The one to Schultz to the left side that was right down in like the lower pocket there. I mean, just. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, those throws are still in there, man. And they were in the first half. at the end of the first half, I was sitting next to Lopez, and I said, you know what, like, my big takeaway in the first half, because the Texans were trailing 20-17, like, I think they're going to win the game. We saw some big chunk plays from CJ again. You know, dropping back, he had protection.
Yeah.
Play was well executed. And then, right at the end of the first half, get the ball back. Let's be aggressive. Let's go try to get some points. And this happens.
Stroud takes the snap. Stroud fires and picked off. Oh, no. Brownlee's got it tagged out at the 20 as CJ was trying to find John Metchie, and he threw it wide. And the Titans have the ball at the Houston 20. The worst-case scenario right here. They turn it over in their end.
Yeah. Yeah, worst-case scenario. You know, that's, I admire the aggressiveness. Let's go try to get points, especially when the other team's getting the ball to start the second half, like the Titans were.
Yeah.
And credit the defense there. They came up with two big sacks to at least, A, hold them to a field goal, and B, make the field goal a tough one. It was a 56-yard field goal that they had
right,
to try there.
Right.
You know, like,
yeah.
Defense did their job.
It turns out the they could trust their field goal kicker yesterday.
Yeah.
We can't trust Kaimi Fairbairn anymore. Any of the magic that was there early in the season, Kaimi's just missing point blank field goals and extra points and what have you. It just that's the unexpected part of the Texans falling apart that I didn't expect to happen.
Yeah, yeah. So CJ, good first half up until that interception, and then that interception was like a pin in a balloon, man. Like, it was bad the rest of the way, including towards the beginning of the second half, this interception right
here. CJ fakes the give. CJ under immediate pressure, looking, throwing over the middle, and intercepted at the 45-yard line and brought down at the 39-yard line. Murray.
Got nine interceptions on the season now.
Nine interceptions on the season, and then the ones in the last few weeks have been kind of ugly and not ones that you would expect. So, okay, he's got a miscommunication on the first one between him and Metchie. You know, ultimately, I always put that back on the quarterback because it's quarterback's job to be sure your receivers are running your offense.
Doing. Yeah, yeah.
You know, the Tom Brady, I think, was one of the best receivers coaches who ever lived. So ultimately, yes, that goes back on Slowick and C.J. Stroud. When these things are routinely happening, when you're having ugly interceptions, on that specific play, you can blame John Metchie for not reading it the same way as C.J. But the sum total of everything is that it is a disjointed operation right now.
Yes.
And then the second interception, I don't think it was necessarily a bad decision, but it's a bad decision if that's the throw you're going to make.
Right.
You know, like, you got to have more zit. And I know pass protection wasn't perfect on that play. You just... And if it was in isolation, it would be one thing, but it's not in isolation now. We're seeing this over and over again.
Yeah. I'm looking at CJ's game log here. And other than the Indianapolis game that they won 23-20, he's been below an 80 passer rating in every game other than that Indianapolis game over the last 6 weeks. He was 78.7 yesterday. That's the best game he's had of those five that he's been under 80. But the second half, man, not after that first interception, Seth, after that interception that was a miscommunication with Metchie, 9 of 16, 98 yards. That second pick that we just played took three sacks for minus 26 yards, not all on him, but partially on him. And then this one, like at the end of the game, just like the – honestly, like the perfect microcosm of the day, the closeout here, the safety for the Titans.
Third down at 17 from the Houston 1. Stroud of his end zone in the gun. Gets the snap. CJ escapes to the right side, and he's sacked out of the back of the end zone. Safety.
That's where, Seth, I was like, and really from the get-go with that drive. That drive was doomed from the start because of MJ Stewart getting a penalty on the punt return. I mean, credit the defense. Like, Kaimi misses that 28-yarder. And the defense comes up big. Daniil Hunter gets that huge TFL on second and three to make it third and six. And then they get pressure on Will Levis, and they get off the field. They get the ball back, and they return the ball to the Robert Woods returns the ball to the 27, but it gets called back by a penalty on MJ Stewart, who had a couple bad penalties yesterday. And they start at the 8, and they just move backwards from there. And then CJ, you know, the safety. Like, that was... In that moment, I'm like, man, that magic that we felt at the end of that Tampa Bay game where we came in here on Monday and the first thing I said was, we've got one of those guys who you just cannot give that opening to at the end of games now at quarterback. You cannot leave C.J. Stroud a minute left on the clock with a one-score lead because he's going to get you. that magic is gone. And maybe it comes back, but like for now, that magic is gone. They can't score points in the second half, let alone in the last 46 seconds of a game.
As it is right now, like you take your bias out of it, whatever. Go ahead and look at what people thought about this offense in the offseason. Objective observers from around the league, the hardcore film watchers and what have you. This team, offensive line issues included, this team is drastically underperforming what they look like on paper.
No doubt.
Offensively.
No doubt.
They're just bad. I wouldn't even call it a slow unraveling. It's been a steady and consistent unraveling of any of the promise they had in the preseason as the year has gone on. And if something doesn't change between now and the end of the season or the postseason, it's impossible to look away from Bobby Slowick. What are you going to say? Like, show me the offensive coordinator out there who has all pros at all 11 positions on offense. There's the offensive line is not an excuse. Injuries are not an excuse.
No.
None of this is an excuse, and it falls back on at some point, just as you do with quarterbacks or various players, you got to try somebody new at offensive coordinator because Bobby Slowick is falling to dust.
Yeah.
In terms of any sense that this guy knows what he's doing, this is an inept offense. They look clueless out there.
Yeah.
You know, and it's a grab bag of issues. It's not one specific thing. It's all over the board.
Yeah.
Every single position.
Yep.
Quarterback included.
Yeah. No, you know, honestly, I mean, you didn't say anything wrong right there. You're absolutely right. For me, it's more on D'Amico now. Like, it's more on D'Amico now. It's ultimately up to the head coach to lead change with something and fix something that's going wrong. They've done nothing to fix it. They haven't changed anything.
They've made efforts to fix it. It's just none of it's working.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I guess
they've tinkered with their protections. They've tinkered with what they're doing in the run game.
Yeah.
All of that. But every time they tinker with it, you get a short little burst of like, oh, the defense wasn't ready for that, and then you realize, oh yeah, but they're not actually doing the tinkering isn't being performed physically well. It's just the element of surprise.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, guys are getting physically beat.
Yeah.
You know, or CJ's making bad decisions or whatever, or John Metchie's making the wrong read in coverage. It's all over the board, and it stinks.
Yeah,
it just stinks.
It's super concerning. Like, this is we've been saying it for 2 months. This is a crisis. This offensive line, this is an offensive crisis for this team, and the crisis is not getting solved right now.
Well, and the other thing, too, is I have no way of telling. I don't know if I can bring up historical examples of having your highest-paid offensive lineman be so incredibly bad actually, he's really good at committing penalties. He has a commanding lead on penalties in the league right now.
He's the best, yeah.
He's at 15 penalties on the season. Tyler Guyton. Has he been all pro like the last 4 years or not?
He's a rookie,
I don't know if this is something that good offensive linemen typically do or not.
He's on his way, though, this Guyton kid. He's on his
Laramie,
way.
Yeah, Laramie Tunsil, a three penalty lead in that regard. Pre-snap penalties, he's also got a three-snap lead over everybody else. He's got 10 false starts. Nobody else has more than 7.
All right, let's laugh a little bit. On the post-game show yesterday, we'll get to acknowledge me in just a little bit. We had a caller named Nicole that called into the postgame show. Seth, you've not heard this yet.
No, I haven't. I saw it referenced, but I didn't. I thought it was a joke.
It got picked up by a few of the aggregators, too, out there.
Yeah?
Yeah, like, you won't believe this! With the, like, red sirens, like, on the postgame show for the Texans. I know. We went slightly viral. A caller named Nicole called in and had a major concern about why things were happening, like Kyemi Fairbairn missing chip shot field goals, Bobby Slowick continuing to repetitively run plays that don't work. Here's what she thought. Nicole, appreciate your patience. Welcome in.
Hi, gentlemen. Thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to air a couple of grievances that I have. And I'm going to establish that the NFL, the refs in Vegas are a cartel that manipulate all the games as they wish. And I feel like some players, such as Kyemi, are subject to being paid off at will because they're so good. He's so good. I don't believe he intentionally loses his kicks. I think he's paid to do so. And potentially, to my next grievance, is that the play calling can also be subject to being subject to the cartel. And that dude, I forgot his name, but he sucks.
His name's Bobby. His name's Bobby Slowick.
She didn't even specifically say offensive coordinator. Did
That's who she meant. We got another cut coming up here. Trust me, she meant Slowick. Yeah, she meant. But he sucks. Okay. So her hypothesis. We got a lot more. Trust me. Her hypothesis is that the cartels, and it seems like not like the drug cartels, like we saw in Breaking Bad and stuff, but like some gambling cartel out in Vegas.
I mean, she said it was the referees that were the cartel, but I would guess she means that they're an instrument of the cartels.
Yeah, probably. But so, like somehow, like this wasn't Kaimi just missing it because he shanked a field goal.
She's accusing Kaimi of, well, she says he didn't intentionally do it, except that he's being paid to do it.
So
that's being like, I don't. I didn't choose to have sex with people for money, but they paid me to do it.
Right.
I had no choice.
Right.
Yeah.
That is.
I'm not really a prostitute. I just accept money for sex.
The bottom line.
Because they pay me to do it.
The bottom line is that she thinks there's something untoward going on where there's cartels involved in the Texans' poor performance yesterday. Here she blames the cartel for Slowick's bad play calling.
I don't know why he always calls that play where you throw to your left or your right and you have to catch up to the line of scrimmage. I don't know
why he
does that. It never works. It never freaking works. And he does it all the time. I feel like he's sabotaging us. He always has Mixon come to drive right into a pile of guys that, why is it so unorthodox to run out left or right? I mean, I don't know. I'm not a play caller. I'm just a girl.
Why doesn't he ever have
a play go out to the left or the right? I don't get it. He also could be subject to the cartel.
Yes.
Slowick. The cartel's got to Slowick, man.
This is an answer. I've been looking for answers. Yes. This is an answer. This
actually is an answer. Like, why do they keep running it into a brick wall on first down and conceding second and 11? Cartels, hello.
Hey, Nicole, your explanation is as good as any, in my opinion.
Okay.
Yes.
Do you
Nicole's speaking. Yeah, I can vote for this.
Do you want more? Give me more. You picking up what she's putting down?
Give me more. Because I need to pull other people in. I'm somewhat informed now.
All right.
I've done enough. This is my own personal research as listening to Nicole, Sean. I've done the research. Yeah. And you can't disprove any of this.
Okay, so we got Kaimi, cartel. Slowick cartel, the big fear. Right.
Not because they intend to, but because they're being paid to.
Subjected to the cartels. The big fear, CJ Stroud.
Third grievance, poor CJ. You know, he may be smart enough to know that these things are happening, or he may be shot down because I believe he's just as good as the old golden boy, Patrick. And right now he's the golden boy. So and he's what we need to strive towards. So I'm not making excuses for the bad things we did today, but CJ is right up there with him, and you can tell that his confidence is being shot. And why is that? Is the cartel doing that to him? I believe so.
Texan fans, I would feel a little better about this if I were Texan fans. Like, wow, this is inexplicable. How could Kaimi miss a 28-yard field goal? This is inexplicable. How could somebody be this inept as an OC to keep calling the same plays that don't work? This is inexplicable. How could CJ Stroud have such a huge step backwards in year two of his NFL career? Cartel. Hello. It's the cartel.
I'm glad she brought up Mahomes because I'm looking right now. It looks like the Chiefs are 0-5 against the spread in their last five games.
They play close games, man. That's all. The cartel might have gotten to Mahomes.
After the game, there was a quote yesterday about how him like they need to have a blowout win here at some point.
Yeah.
And I think what he probably meant to say was like, we're making it a little too close. If the spread's 10.5, we got to only win by 10, not 3.
I don't know if you guys know. I heard from the cartel. Have you guys ever heard of cartel before? I heard from the cartel. Got to me, okay? It got to me. That's why we play so close.
CJ, and remember, because she's a fan, she's not blaming any of them.
No.
They're just accepting the money to do this.
Yeah. Let's
good
see.
It's as good as any for me. At least that one makes. At least that makes sense.
I got one more. We got one more, Nicole. Because right. I said so. What you're telling me, Nicole? That's what I said to her. I said you're telling me the cartel is the reason why the Texans lost to the Titans today. And she said, No. This has been going on for multiple weeks now.
2 weeks ago, I believe Kaimi threw the game on Thursday Night Football. And this is not just about today. This is about what I've been witnessing weeks on end. And the quote unquote, my statement of the cartel, they've been at it for many, many years. So they know just when a call is needed to throw a game, to push the momentum in one way or the other. So don't, you're the professional, so I know you can see when that is happening.
Right. She knows I know. I mean, I live in that gambling world. I know you know, Sean, you D-gen. I know you know. Hang on, I got to read this. 5-Hour Energy fan line. 5-Hour Energy, the official energy shot of Sports Radio 610 and football superfans. Let me clarify, guys, for Nicole. The Texans' play calling is so stupid, they have to be getting paid off.
I really honestly wish that I could just take this leap and believe all of it and say, well, hey, look, because the classic, this is where everybody gets themselves into trouble with all this. Like, you can't prove this didn't happen. Oh, right, God. Right, you can't prove that lots of things didn't happen. Right. Like, you need actual evidence. I'll tell you from a player's perspective.
Yeah.
The only time I really remember this, and this was before social media, was the year we went 2-14 in 2005.
Yeah.
And Chris Brown, who 100% I can tell you was not being paid off by any kind of cartel, missed some bad field goals. And people were convinced that this was because he was instructed to, because we were trying to draft Reggie Bush, that we were trying to get in. Yeah. And I'm like, man, you don't have these conversations with Chris Brown after these games and everything to know exactly how devastating it is.
Yep.
That's where ultimately it's the most as a player, you're kind of like, are you serious? Like, I'd rather you guys just call me a bum. than attack my integrity.
Right.
Because my defense is no. We're actually just really bad at our jobs, all right? I'm sorry. That's my impassioned defense. It's like, no, actually, I'm just bad at what I do, okay?
Oh, my God. That's funny.
I would prefer that I were being paid off, honestly, because I would have some control in that matter, unless I was being blackmailed.
This is the text message. That girl reminds me of Mama Sterner. I think it's the opposite. Now, I'm here for a Nicole and Mama Sterner podcast. I think that would be great. Mama Sterner would never accuse people of throwing things. She would just tell you how bad you suck at stuff. You know?
Have you ever seen on social media the woman, the grandmother whose grandson will do things like he'll take her picture and put it on like a shampoo container at Walmart. And there'll be like 10 of them lined up. And she'll be walking through and looking at the products, and she'll be like, "What the hell? What the hell happened? Where?" And then she gets irate. He did it with a billboard once. It was, the face of constipation, and it was her face up on a billboard.
That's pretty good. how did we get here? Mama Sterner? Is that how we
get? Yeah, Mama Sterner. Yeah. She reminds me of how angry Mama Sterner would be. Thank you for remembering how I got there.
It's really funny, but how did we get here?
Well, the whole thing about Nicole is she was very open and transparent. It's cool sometimes to see it through the eyes of somebody who is relatively uneducated or uninformed, because it is true. If you're watching football, we've all watched football with somebody who's like, why doesn't the quarterback just throw it to where there aren't any people?
Right.
And then you got to explain that, like, okay, well, the defensive back would have been there, but he saw where the throw was going. But Nicole's watching the games, and she's like, how come they're running the ball into that brick wall of people at the line of scrimmage? That doesn't seem to make much sense.
Right.
And it's hard. It gets harder and harder with Bobby Slowick to explain exactly why they're doing what they are doing. Some point, you're just like, yeah, probably a cartel. Probably a cartel.
Text message, finally someone's making some sense.
This offense has not performed well enough to escape the accusations of being an instrument of the cartel. I'll tell you that much.
God. Let's acknowledge.
They haven't escaped that scrutiny.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Dana Carvey and David Spade here.
You might know our podcast, Fly on the Wall, featuring guests from across the entertainment industry.
We decided to do a spinoff called Superfly, and it's fun. It's just two of us riffing on current events, pop culture, catching up, impressions.
Joe, Trump's trying to be a dictator.
Yeah, just bump on the tater tots.
Joe, no.
Listen to and follow Superfly on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.
Let's acknowledge a few people here. We do a little segment called Acknowledge Me. Not much to acknowledge with the Texans, but there, I think there were two guys to acknowledge. But first, I'm going to do it. I'm going to be classy. Will Levis.
Acknowledge me.
He's the better quarterback yesterday, man. He won the duel with C.J. Stroud. 18 of 24, 278 yards, two touchdowns. Now, granted, one of his chunk plays was just a dump down to the tight end that the Texans just completely blew. 70 of the 278 yards came on that one play, but guess what? They executed it, and he gets credit for it. The 63-yard play to Calvin Ridley, I thought was a great throw. He had pressure in his face. Will Levis was sacked 8 times on the day, and he kept getting back up.
Yeah.
Give Will Levis a lot of credit yesterday, man. Got to acknowledge the Mayo King.
He did exactly what we were afraid he would do, which is he's capable of these shot plays. And yet he was also very efficient to begin the game. He was 11 for 12. You know it's in him. You know, he's shown that he's able to do that, even in his bad games. He's got a nice, really easy release where it's a flick of the wrist sometimes on these deep shots. If you give him the opportunity, he's going to take advantage of it. And he had been playing better. This is the big unknown about Will Levis coming into this game. He's been back for 3 games now. In his first two games back from his injury, he was playing the Chargers and he's playing the Vikings. So he's playing two good defenses,
yep.
But looked better.
Yeah.
But they're not scoring more than 17 points in either of those games. So you're wondering, all right, what exactly is he? He still threw another bad interception for a pick 6 in this game.
He did.
And yet the upside is still there. You can see it.
No doubt.
Kudos to him.
Kudos to Will Levis. No, the big number I saw, Seth, and what you're talking about, pre-injury and post-injury.
Yeah.
I think 5.7 yards per attempt before the injury, just a bunch of dink and dunk and dunk and dink. Coming back from the injury, he's averaging, and I'm sure it's gone up now, over 8 yards per attempt. He averaged almost 12 yards per attempt yesterday.
Part of it is this offense starting to kick in. How did the Texans really have their back broken yesterday? Play action. Play it. They run zone, run to the left.
Yep.
It's play action, and Henry Toa is completely bitten on the play action. All the stuff that defenses don't do versus the Texans, because they don't actually, they're not fooled by any of it. The Titans are figuring it out. Took half a season, Bobby Slowick.
Yep.
Half a season. This is why teams hire offense. It took half a season.
Bad,
and you're getting crushed by it.
It's bad.
But now here we are. Well, it takes time for the zone run scheme to work out, especially. This goes back to D'Amico. You hire an offensive line coach with no familiarity in this system.
Yeah.
The offensive line plays like they've got a coach that's got no familiarity in this system.
That's on D'Amico. It is, man. You got to hire well, for sure. I will now acknowledge a couple of Houston Texans. This is the duo that kept this team in the game yesterday. Danielle Hunter.
Acknowledge me.
Let's listen to it, man. Let's hear the montage.
Levis, shotgun. Pollard behind him now. They're getting to the pistol set. 4-man front for Houston. First down from the Tennessee 22. Here comes Hunter. And Danielle with a sack on Levis. A beauty. Four-man front for the Texans. Levis is going to throw it this time. Now pressured out to the left. Levis in trouble. Levis sacked. Danielle Hunter with his second of the game. Levis under pressure again immediately. And he's going to be sacked again.
Unbelievable.
Mario Edwards and Danielle Hunter get there to bring down the quarterback. A big loss on the play.
Danielle is on a, he's on a heater right now, man. Three sacks, five TFLs yesterday. Yeah. He has been a beast. He's double-digit sack guy now again for however many times in his career. He's up to 10.5 sacks. Now, that has been a dynamite signing for this team. He's been excellent.
In terms of off-season acquisitions and off-season just how things looked in the off-season, the pass rush in total, including Will Anderson and what you'd hope to get out of him, is the one area that I feel best about right now.
Lived up to the hype, yes.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm happy with Joe Mixon. I don't think that he's – I think in another situation it would be way more impressive. I mean, this team now versus the three genuinely good run defenses they've faced, the Vikings, the Lions, and now the Titans. Yeah. The Titans were fifth in yards per carry against going into yesterday's game. They just haven't done anything. You know, Joe Mixon averages 1.8. The Vikings game, Joe Mixon wasn't there.
Yeah, he wasn't there.
Like, okay, maybe it'll be different with Mixon. But it was also one of their worst rushing performances of the year.
That's right.
When they go up against full-grown men, they get turned into pathetic little boys whose nose is running, who's crying because they've lost a mitten. All of that. It's boys versus men when they go up against good rushing defenses.
Undoubtedly is, man.
Oh, my gosh. T'Vondre Sweat and what he did to Tank Dell. To Shaq Mason. Oh my God.
I was like, where is the offensive lineman on this play? And Shaq's literally, like, sitting on the ground.
He swatted him away. And Shaq, by the laws of physics, it should be hard to swat Shaq like that.
Low center of gravity.
He's got an incredibly low center of gravity. He's a big man who's like 6'1".
Yeah.
And yet T'Vondre Sweat just swatted him away.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
Like a disused tissue.
Mm-hmm. While we're acknowledging Danielle Hunter, his partner in crime, Will Anderson.
Acknowledge me.
Let's hear his two, Ben.
Third down at 6 at the Houston 31. Levis out of the gut. He's got a little time now, trying to scramble, and Will Anderson rips him down for the sack. Welcome back, Will. That's 8.5 on the year for Will Anderson Jr. Second and 10 at the Houston 20. Levis in the gun. Here's the snap. Here's pressure and a sack by Will Anderson Jr. back at the 29-yard line. Will, two sacks on the day. A big one at a big time. Third and long.
Okay, so Ross Tucker was on the call yesterday, along with Jay Feely, who I feel like Jay Feely, I hadn't listened to him in a while. He's come a long way. And from being kind of like the guy that they asked about the kicking and everything, to like Feely really, you can tell he's really been studying over these last few years.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that the cool thing about yesterday, and Ross pointed this out a couple times, was that J.C. Latham, the left offensive tackle, was an Alabama guy. And he should know Will Anderson from practicing against him. And I loved it because Will Anderson in college, he was a speed-to-power guy. You know, he's going to rush upfield, then turn in and bull rush the offensive tackle. Last year, Will was doing the same thing, and in the NFL, it doesn't work out as well because you've got full-grown men that know how to anticipate and stop your bull rush. With Latham, the difference is Will was doing kind of what he did in college, except now he's working edges.
Yeah.
He's finding the soft shoulder of the offensive tackle. And Latham was probably like, oh, yeah, I know this. Hey, what the hell?
Hey!
Will Anderson went through puberty all over the summer.
You learn new tricks.
Yeah. Because Will was doing a lot of the same except attacking an edge as he was doing it. And that's where he's come along as a pass rusher. He's just got a much better feel for how to attack the weakness of an offensive lineman. So that was cool to see. I had a few listeners reach out to me that said that they love Ross from his appearances with us, but that made it doubly hard to hear him gush over some of the things that the Titans did well.
Well, we're going to talk to him tomorrow.
They felt betrayed.
He covered that game. We'll talk to him plenty about the game tomorrow, get his post-game thoughts on it. He joins us at 7 o'clock on Tuesday's Ross Talk. We'll give Ross a little acknowledgement, too, because we've had a few people on the text page say Ross did a really good job yesterday. Yeah, Ross is excellent. He's really good.
He was making too many excuses for the Titans' offensive line, but we'll pick it up with him on that. He was blaming Will Levis for almost every single sack.
Okay. Yeah. He's an offensive lineman, so yeah, there you go.
He had a point. I feel like we'll take him to task for this tomorrow. Okay. I felt like his bias seeped through a little too much.
Sounds good. Hey, quick acknowledgement. Saquon Barkley.
Acknowledge me.
255 yards rushing last night. 302 total yards from scrimmage last night for Saquon in their win over the Rams last night. Saquon making a run at MVP, man.
Oh, my gosh.
Making a run at MVP because it doesn't feel like there's a quarterback who's really taking the award by the throat. I think Josh Allen's the favorite right now, but Josh Allen wasn't that great the first half of the year. We saw him here at NRG Stadium. So
my one saving grace in being skeptical of Saquon Barkley in the offseason has been Derrick Henry, you know, was pace for pace with Saquon Barkley in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
He's starting to fall off a little bit. I really need Derrick Henry to have a real surge here late this season.
You'll get him tonight. Tonight they play. Yeah. It's the Harbaugh Bowl tonight.
In Saquon, I don't want to wish for this, but Saquon, one of my big concerns about him was his ability to stay healthy.
Yeah.
And not just like and play well throughout the season, even if he is banged up. But so far, Cecil can kind of dumb on that.
They signed him to a 3-year deal, and they're running him like they're not really into years 2 and 3 of this thing. Like, you know, they're.
Yeah, you got to smoke him while you got him. Yeah, you know, I can't. Yeah. Whenever you bring up the advanced stats, all that, it's like, look, it is what it is. We're rolling the dice on this.
Yeah.
We're going to stop being awesome right now.
It's hard
sure.
to argue, man.
Yeah.
They're 9-2, you know, like the Eagles, and they figured things out. And that's the ironic thing. You know what? Nick Sirianni, Ben. I'm going to acknowledge Nick Sirianni.
Acknowledge
me! After like week 4, he brings all his kids to a press conference, and he's just like completely dismissing the Eagles are playing like crap. And he's like, guys, we'll fix it. It's no problem. Like, why are you guys like, this guy got one kid on the left knee, one kid on the right knee, the other two looking like they don't even want to be there at the press conference. And Nick Sirianni's like, guys, you worry too much. It's all going to get fixed. And sure enough, man. It's won like 8 in a row. He, you know, like it's the opposite of last season, like where he was downer at the end of the year, man. They're picking up steam now 11 games into the season. So actually they started 10-1 last year. So technically they're not as good, but they, you know, it feels like
they fell apart.
Yeah. It feels like they're moving in the right direction. All right. That was acknowledge me. Acknowledging big performances from over the weekend. The Texans' percentage chance to make the playoffs as of right now. I'm going to tell you what it is when we come back. Does it feel remotely close to this? Right now, do they feel like they have this percentage of chance to make the playoffs? That is coming up next.